I have him on the Mount Rushmore of my guest, Alex Marvez from Sirius XM, the NFL channel. He's also with Sporting News, and he knows the Raiders as good as anybody that I interview nationally. He joins us on the official Raiders podcast. And Alex, when I saw you with Gil Brandt, we were up in Napa for the preseason, 12-4 for the Silver and Black as the season wraps up. That's pretty special.
Yeah, you're right about that, JT. You know, and at some point, Raiders fans are going to take a look back and realize what a special season this has been. You know, coming so close to winning the AFC West, winning 12 games, getting back into the playoffs for the first time since 2002, and also being on solid footing for years to come. I mean, you just love the direction that this team is headed. It's just unfortunate what has happened with Derek Carr, but of course, the season not over, and I'm going to be very curious to see what type of Raiders effort that we get on Saturday against an offensively challenged Houston Texans team. In fact, JT, right now, you have ties with the Raiders organization. I'll work on my ties with the Texans. First team that scores wins. Let's just get it over with, and we'll go from there.
I would agree. That would be a good way. Maybe the Raiders can run it down their throat and get an early touchdown. Going back to what happened in Denver, how did you see it with your analysis, not being ready to play? Denver comes out and scores. McGloin clearly wasn't sharp. That's a compliment for me to him. He gets hurt. He's out of the game. Cook comes in, but it just didn't look like the Raiders were able to capture what they needed to do energy-wise, discipline-wise, on defense to be in a game against the Bronco team that didn't have the playoffs to play for.
I know. That's the tough part. But I'll tell you this, too. You know, think about it like this. If Gary Kubiak were coming back for another year, would the Broncos have been a little bit different? Would they have been charged up about this game? You know, they liked Gary Kubiak. They liked him a whole heck of a lot, and they weren't oblivious to the report that this was going to be Gary's last game. And suddenly, you started feeling this tidal wave of emotion going on in Denver, and players in a game that they may not have cared about before suddenly started to care a little bit more, if you know what I mean. So I thought that. I thought the Aqib Talib actions are pretty reprehensible, but I don't expect anything less from Aqib Talib. But, you know, yanking on Michael Crabtree's chain, I thought that was, you know, something a little bit shocking that you know, sort of maybe it just set the tempo for that day where the Denver Broncos were the bullies. Let's just put it like that. And I think, though, this is a performance that you can rebound from, and it's an eye-opener. Sometimes you need one of these games, and I hate to say it like that, but this, if there is an extra preparation this week in Oakland and guys that are saying, hey, we cannot go out like this. We have to do everything we can to fight to win this game against Houston, and we'll worry about the playoff, the next opponent after that. But to concentrate on this, then that's a sad indictment. This is where the team leaders have to step up and really make sure that everybody's focus is on point. That I don't feel that was the case last week for whatever reason.
Alex Marvez is with us. When you were with Gil Brandt in Napa covering the Raiders, and obviously Connor Cook was drafted and the Raiders clearly wanted him, what went through your mind? And the follow-up would be, do you believe with his size and strength that if he is the starter or if he gets real playing time against the Texans that he could step up and play well on a spot like this?
We're talking Connor Cook.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I look, the reality was this. When we weren't there to see him, and it was an unfortunate situation, JT, because that was when his teammate, the Michigan State punter, had passed away in a car accident. So Connor wasn't at camp. He was excused to attend the funeral, and one can understand that. That was a close friend of his. And so we never really, you know, I wasn't able to pick Gil's brain on what he saw from the young man. Look, it's completely unfair to expect much from Connor Cook. You know, even Jacoby Brissett, right, and we'll use him as an example. When the Patriots played the Texans in Week 3 and he was thrown in early in his rookie career, you know, he had a tremendous game plan, and they were able to stake an early lead because they made impact plays on special teams and on defense. Where are we going to see that from the Raiders? Are we going to see a return for a touchdown? Are we going to see an interception? Are we going to see a sack and strip? Are we going to see a forced fumble? I mean, are they going to do something to give Connor Cook a little momentum? Because if you remember that game with Brissett, and I really feel like he might be the best, you know, launching point to have this conversation because he's surrounded by a good team. You know, they went up 10-0, and essentially the game was over. You just had that feeling that the Texans, incidentally, the same team the Raiders are playing Saturday, just didn't have enough firepower to come back and win this game. Well, I think you may need 10 points, even with Brock Osweiler at quarterback, to win this game, but do something to elevate Connor Cook. And I think Jack Del Rio, he said it himself during his news conference earlier this week that, look, we got to run the football better. And when you've got an offensive line with 3 Pro Bowl players, the heaviest offensive line in football, I mean, you should be able to mash it out some. And that was probably the biggest surprise to me last week was the fact that this team didn't run the football more effectively against the Broncos. Maybe because Denver could play so out, you know, they knew that if they could just stop the run, the Raiders would struggle to do some things in the passing game. But, man, they've got to be able to do some stuff on the ground this week if they're going to have a chance to succeed, because I just don't know about Connor Cook. I do know this. When I talked to Reggie McKenzie, JT, about 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's fait accompli that Matt McGloin is going to be leaving in free agency. And Reggie knows that. And I think his plan is going to be, because Derek Carr is entrenched as the long-term starter, and of course he'll be paid accordingly sooner than later, but what I think you're going to end up seeing is a formula similar to what Reggie learned with Green Bay and one that New England does. You're going to draft quarterbacks, you're going to take him in the middle rounds, maybe as high as the second round, whatever it is that you need to do if you like a guy, and then you're going to sit him behind Derek Carr, and then you're going to end up, hopefully, if you know, either lose him in free agency, get a high compensatory pick, or be able to trade that player for something like the Patriots are probably going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's a good long-term system. It's just unfair to expect much from Connor Cook right now because he hasn't played. In fact, it was Donald Penn told Vic Tate for the San Francisco Chronicle that he had never heard him in the huddle before. Connor Cook, he'd never taken even a snap with the first team offense this entire season. So to expect Connor to come in and light things up, it just doesn't work that way. This isn't the movies.
Alex Marvez joins us. How is Houston number one overall in net yards on defense without J.J. Watt?
Ah, Jadeveon Clowney has really stepped up, and they have made Jadeveon into J.J. Watt. They've moved him around the field, and Jadeveon's been able to stay healthy for the first time. I think that's a big part of it. You know, A.J. Bouye is a guy that you need to keep your eye on. This guy is going to get paid, JT. I don't know if it's going to be by the Texans, but he has come up as a difference-making cornerback. Whitney Mercilus is an awfully good pass rusher, and I just think Romeo Crennel, in fact, you know, JT, I was just filling out my Associated Press ballot for the awards. He's going to get my Assistant Coach of the Year award, and I say that because you look at the offensive support. It's one thing for Rod Marinelli in Dallas, who's done a great job, you know, with lesser talent. But, you know, when you're not on the field and you're not stressed as much as this Texans defense is because your offense is doing well, that's one thing. What Romeo Crennel's been able to do, he has carried Bill O'Brien into the playoffs now for a couple of seasons. He really has. And that's why when Jay Glazer of Fox reported, hey, you know, Bill O'Brien, don't be surprised if this team loses to the Raiders, if he's one of those surprise hirings. I had heard whispers about that about 3 weeks ago, and what was, I didn't have enough to get to roll with it like Jay. I don't want to, trust me, disparage his report or say anything like that. Jay's the absolute best. He's one of my best friends. But the thing is that, you know, the disappointment in the building in Houston comes from the problems at quarterback. They believe that Brock Osweiler can be a better quarterback than what Bill O'Brien is getting out of him. And, you know, we've gone through how many quarterbacks now in Houston? And Bill O'Brien's been 9-7 every year, and that's all well and good. But the reality is that this team with that type of defense should be even better. It's almost like you're seeing the redo of the Baltimore Ravens, a team that, you know, had great defenses that carried the team while the offense sputtered. Brian Billick lasted a while, got one Super Bowl out of it, ultimately got canned because he could never develop a quarterback. That's how it went.
Wrapping it up with Alex Marvez, that's really important, that information, in your opinion, because the Raiders ran into a buzzsaw once Gary Kubiak and everyone realized he was leaving and the way that team rallied and the energy that the Broncos played with. What about the Texans? It is surfacing locally in that market, and we're talking about it, the fact that they could be fighting for the coach or not. For Bill O'Brien, is this a must-win game against the Oakland Raiders if he wants to keep his job?
I think there's one guy who knows that, and I think he's going to remain tight-lipped, and that is the owner of the team, Bob McNair. And Bob has the patience of a saint. He really does. But, you know, Bob's getting up in years now, and he bought this franchise in 2002. And, JT, it used to be, are the Texans ever going to win a playoff game? Now is it, are they ever going to reach a championship game? You know, because let's be real here. The team that wins this game probably isn't going to be going much further. Hey, it's great to win a playoff game and take a puncher's chance. You never know what happens. You got to play the second round game. But these teams are probably reaching the end of the line after this game on Saturday. That's just the reality of it. Is that good enough for Bob McNair? Does he think, no, are my front office, the ones who paid $37 million guaranteed on a $72 million contract to Brock Osweiler, they're the ones who screwed up. And Bill O'Brien's not at fault here because Brock Osweiler can't develop. That's a little bit of a tough pill to swallow because of how much Bob McNair is loyal to Rick Smith, the general manager. So I don't think all is well with the Houston Texans, but if they win on Saturday, not sure if they would go through and really go ahead and fire Bill O'Brien, but they would expect more utility from Brock Osweiler in the offseason.
Last question, what's the one message that Jack Del Rio needs to give that to that entire roster to have them ready to play? They weren't ready against Denver. What does his motivational speech sound like as they break through the locker room to start that game in Houston?
Just do what you would do if Derek was here. I really, that's it. and concentrate on what you're doing. Don't try to overcompensate because Derek Carr is not your quarterback. And the shell shock is over. That's why I think, you know, in a way, it was good to get Week 17 done, right? And look, it sucks to not win the division. I get that and all the things that means. But, JT, if these guys just are able to each individually do their job, and I'm borrowing a page from Bill Belichick here, they can be the Houston Texans. This is not the impossible dream, man of La Mancha type of stuff. This is actually true. The Raiders can win this game, but they have to run the football. They have to create some turnovers on defense or on special teams. These guys need to play the game of their lives. And you know what? It's very possible.
You're unbelievable. Unbelievable analysis. Thank you, my friend. Happy New Year.
For you, JT, anytime. Be good.
Thank you. Alex Marvez.